My subject tonight is one that is extremely familiar to all of you, and when I think about it, I'm wondering if I really need to preach this subject here at Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel, because you see, I've heard Brother Roddy Pinder preach on this particular subject matter, and I was so very, very impressed with the things that he shared that I suggested to him that he take that message wherever he goes and share it more with the saints on occasions when he has opportunity to travel. My message tonight has to do with prayer, but I'm looking at it from the point of view of being both the weakness and also the power of the church. I came up with that thought, the weakness and the power of the church with respect to the matter of prayer, because that is precisely what I see everywhere I travel, and my involvement with each assembly or other church group, that when it comes to the matter of prayer, there is tremendous weakness in the church. But yet, prayer has the potential to be the greatest power that the church of our Lord Jesus Christ can experience upon the face of this earth on any given Sunday morning or Sunday evening here in Spanish Wells and many of the other family islands. Not so much evenings in Nassau now, but more particularly Sunday mornings. Our churches are extremely filled with both saints and sinners alike. We not only talk about our love for our Lord Jesus Christ and sing about our love for Him, we say that we are concerned about sinners and many of them coming to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. But very, very few of us on a given weeknight such as tonight, and by the way, this is not intended to chastise anyone, please understand that. But on a given weeknight when the prayer meeting is called, so many of us have excuses not to be there. And so prayer becomes a subject matter that we have a tendency to shun corporately in the local church. But I dare say that it seems to me to be a symptom of what is also taking place in our lives individually as well as in our corporate family life. Because you will discover that if a man is constantly on his knees before God, he will also at that same time be encouraging his family to pray along with him constantly. And he will be a part of that which goes on in the local church. And the church itself will be greatly strengthened as a result of that kind of involvement. We fail, however, to appreciate the importance of prayer. Prayer is important because it focuses our perspective. It rather refocuses our perspective. Without prayer, we see only the visible. Through prayer, God shows us the invisible dimensions of life and the possibilities of the things that he wants to or desires to do in and through us, or that he can do in and through us. You will recall the occasion way back in the book of 2 Kings with Elisha, who had been telling the news of what was going on in Syria, all of the news of the king of Syria as he sent out his armies and as he did various things. Elisha would take the news, even though he was not there in the king's chamber, but it is reported of him that this man knows even what is happening in the bedchamber of the king of Syria. And he reports it to his king, and therefore everything that he attempts to do is nullified as a result of that early report. Simply because Elisha was a man of prayer, and he was able to see things beyond what our human eyes are able to see physically. And his servant, as the great armies, the great hordes of Syria came down, became afraid and says, "Master, Master, what shall we do?" Elisha was extremely calm and composed, and he said to him, "Look, don't be afraid, because those who are for us are far greater than those who are for them." And then he prayed and asked God to open the eyes of his servant, and he was able to look upon the hills all around and see the mighty army of God, chariots of fire, standing for him. And I believe, as Elisha did, and as God gave various prophetic utterances and dimensions of understanding to his servants like Daniel and Abraham and others, so that they could look down the corridors of history, it was because these are men who were in touch with the living God. But we ourselves do not have those kinds of perspective in our lives simply because we fail to spend the kind of quality time with the living God. And as I speak to you, I am aware of my own personal failure in this regard. I seek quite often to make it up from time to time, and I do find, however, that I'm lapsing. I trust God to continue to do his work in my life with respect to this matter. But not only does prayer help us to come to that place of refocusing our vision or our perspective, it quiets our fears and calms our nerves. We receive a quiet assurance in prayer. There are many times when we are utterly perturbed about matters that are taking place all around us. But when we lift our hearts to God in prayer, we hear the word of the psalmist from Psalm 46, "Be still and know that I am God." We hear the word of the apostle Paul as he writes in the book of Philippians chapter 4, "Be careful," or "do not be over anxious for anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will garrison your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That's the kind of calm composure that comes to our lives as a result of spending time in the presence of God, crying out to him in prayer. Prayer transfers our burdens. It takes the big load we've been carrying and shifts it on to the great big shoulders of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know the words from Matthew. "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Prayer upholds others who are in need. It is the way we help to bear each other's burdens and lift them to the one who knows best how to meet their needs. So we look more at the whole business of the importance of prayer. We understand and appreciate this fact, that our relationship with God is enhanced. We get to know God in a way that would not have been possible otherwise apart from prevailing prayer. Through prayer, we slip our hand into God's hand as He moves mountains. Now, God could move mountains without us, but He has given us the privilege of partnership with Him. And as we spend time in prayer, seeking His face, recognizing that it is indeed His will that whatever that mountain is should be removed, by God's help, we search His mind and will, and we pray it through, so that the difficulties, the problems, whatever the issues are, eventually are moved by God in prayer. But let me say this as a sideline to what I've just shared with you. These things do not just simply come about as a result of what I call incidental prayer. I find that so happening so much in my life. But God has made me very, very sensitive to this, and I appreciate what He has done by His Holy Spirit, making me sensitive to incidental prayer. What do I mean by incidental prayer? I am talking about the moments that we get together before God. We are conscious of the fact that we should praise Him, and some of us do take the time to do that for 2 or 3 or 4 minutes. We're conscious of the fact that we ought to pray for our daily bread, our daily needs, and for the next 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 minutes, we spend time in His presence doing that. We recognize that we ought to spend time making our confession and repentance and the business of forgiving others as God has forgiven us. And we do that, and we go on with our supplications and our petitions, perhaps for another 5 or 10 minutes. Those of us who are able to endure prayer for more than 5 or 10 or 15 minutes are able perhaps to stretch it to about a half hour, and that's it. And then we get up from our bed, we get up from our chair, we get up from the place where we are praying, and we walk away after we have said Amen. That's what I call incidental prayer. It's a one-way street whereby you have been doing all of the talking, whereby I have been doing all of the talking to God, and I have not stopped for a moment to allow Him to say something to me. And God has made me very, very sensitive to these kinds of incidental prayer. Now, there are times when I do get on my knees and I do pray that kind of a prayer, and I am conscious of that incidental prayer, and I want to spend more time in the presence of God, but it comes at a moment when I have to get up and meet some other very specific need. And there are times when I am available and I stop for a moment and I continue either in prayer or just simply waiting upon God, simply trusting Him to break through in my life, to give me a word from Himself. But when I have prayed those incidental prayers, and I have to get up, God has given me the grace to say something like this to Him. Father, even though I have said Amen, Your will be done, I still want to hear from You. Because you see, all we've been doing is talking to God, letting Him hear from us. There has to come those moments in our lives when we learn to hear from Him. And I do say this, Father, I want to hear from You nevertheless. Even across a crowded room, wherever I am, whatever I am doing, even if I am simply driving down the street or in conversation, give me that listening ear from within so that I could hear that still small voice of yours saying to me, Marcel, this is my will for your life. Here's what I want you to know for this hour, for this moment. And give me the ability or a heart that is ready to be obedient to your will. Now that is an expression that goes beyond the incidental prayer. It's the experience whereby you literally open yourself up to God to say to you whatever He wants to say to you, wherever you are, and in the midst of whatever you are doing. You give Him that liberty. Now the best place for that to happen is on your knees with extended prayer. That's the best place for it to happen. But we don't always have that experience of extended prayer, except maybe very, very early in mornings or late at night before we go to bed. And be sure you're quite awake at night, because your mind will begin to rumble from here to there to everywhere, and then pretty soon you find yourself falling asleep. Half hour later, you wake up still on your knees and wondering, well, where did I start or where did I leave off? Make sure that your mind is sharp. But I've discovered on so many occasions as I've done that, sometimes perhaps driving down the street, God just simply drops a note into my mind, in my thoughts, and says, think about that. I could be in conversation with an individual or a group, and something is said, and I become aware of the fact that this is not just simply simple conversation that is going on from one individual to another and passing through my ear. This is the voice of God saying, Marcel, have you considered that matter? It's important. I could be sitting down in the breaking of the bread, the communion service, meditating perhaps upon something to share with the congregation, or just simply listening to someone else, or picking up a hymn, flipping through the hymn book, and all of a sudden, God says, be still. And His voice comes across, that still, quiet voice. And it is no longer, as I said, incidental prayer. It is very, very intentional, because God now has my focus. He has my attention. And He's able to speak to me. My ears are open because the Spirit of God has heard my prayer. Open my heart. Open my ears. Give me that ability to listen and hear what you're saying, and to be able to do what you are asking me to do. Someone has said, and I have sought on a number of occasions for the author of this expression. I have not yet found it. I don't know if anyone has said who it is. I found it in a book by Jerry Sidlow Baxter, and a couple of other places. More things are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of. Now, if that is the case, and it is true, that more things indeed are wrought by prayer than this world dreams of, since that is true, the question is simply this. Why then do we not invest in much more prayer in our lives and in our churches and in our families with regards to the circumstances and the situation in which we find ourselves in this world that require the hand of God to move. Because absolutely, we're just unable to do it. Humanly speaking, we're helpless. And if God does not break through, we're sunk. The very first time I heard William MacDonald, it was right here at Spanish Wells Gospel Chapel. I believe it was at a conference. And he gave the experience of a number of young people who went out into the work as young missionaries. And he talked about the trials and difficulties and situations which they encountered, and also he himself. And he alluded to the matter of prayer. And MacDonald used that expression by saying this: because we are so helpless in our lives, humanly speaking, and because situations and circumstances overtake us and can overwhelm us, we must utterly cast ourselves upon God. Like getting up on the limb of a tree and beginning to saw it off, so to speak. And if God does not come through and deliver us, we're sunk. And it comes only as a result of prevailing prayer. Now, it's obvious that I will not complete this message tonight. God willing, I will take it up either next Tuesday night for completion, or perhaps Sunday morning. I will do it. I had another subject matter in mind for Sunday morning, but I may just use this as for completion on Sunday morning. But I want you to appreciate that you and I are not alone with respect to the matter of prayer. The early church, especially the apostles and the disciples who, along with them, the leaders of the church, gave themselves constantly to prayer. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. I'll read from verse 24. And then perhaps give a brief note on the context, and then we'll close. I will not stretch things out unnecessarily, since God willing, I will have opportunity to speak again. Acts chapter 4, verse 24. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, this is their prayer, thou art God which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David has said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to do. And now, Lord, just take a look at their threatenings, and against and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Let me just very, very quickly give you the context in which those words, how that prayer comes. I believe you already know it, many of you. But it comes out of the context in the previous chapter where there was the healing of the man who was at the gate beautiful. He was around about 40 years of age or older, so he was quite of age, and nobody could dispute the fact that this man was lame on his feet. In fact, even the Sanhedrin council, as they struggled with the issue of what to do with the apostles, found themselves in great difficulty to put any heavy sentence upon them because they themselves could not deny the miracle that had been done. Because the man was more than 40 years of age. And they knew him because he sat at the gate beautiful, and they passed him day after day in that spot begging for alms. But God, through this miraculous act, gave him legs. Also, there was the preaching of Peter and John in the name of Jesus, and the declaration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Moving on swiftly, there was the interrogation by the Sanhedrin. But in the midst of that, there was the boldness of the disciples, of Peter and John in particular, before the council. And they could declare that this man, Jesus, whom you crucified, whom you put to death, God raised from the dead, and he is now at his right hand in glory. And it is he of whom we preach. There is salvation in none other name apart from the name of Jesus Christ. Preaching by Peter and John. The further interrogation of the Sanhedrin, the boldness of the disciples, the chastisement and warning by the council not to preach in the name of Jesus anymore, then their release. And upon their release, the scripture says, they went back to their own company, and after rehearsing the things that took place, there was the prayer that we just read from verse 24. There was much power in that prayer. Much to be considered. And I trust that perhaps between now and Sunday, God willing, I think I will use it and complete this message on that time during the adult Bible class, that you will go into that text of Scripture and do some reading for yourself. And trust God to open your mind, enlighten you as well concerning these things, so that it will be more of a confirmation of what God has been saying to you as we get together in the adult Bible class on Sunday, God willing, and complete this message. Two stanzas of a hymn, we're not going to sing it, I'll just read it for you. 594, dear brother in Nassau, every time he is asked to pray, uses this hymn as a preamble to his prayer. Brother Josh Sands, Sr. Prayer is the soul's sincere desire, uttered or unexpressed, the motion of a hidden fire that trembles in the breast. Stanza number 4. Prayer is the Christian's vital breath, the Christian's native air. His watchword at the gates of death. He enters heaven by prayer. Father, speak to our hearts, we pray. Teach us, as your disciples said to our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And we thank you for that word from yourself, that you did not rebuke them, meaning that this is a very, very potent subject that you want each of us to know. And I am praying, blessed Father, that we will learn the lessons and that we will give ourselves to prayer. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask. Amen. God bless you.